Dear graduates, class 2017, to our school staff and school board members, and to all of you, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to consider with you the words of the first reading appointed for today from Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 12. So when they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away, and when they had entered, they went to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.' And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. The account that we read today from the book of Acts falls in that 10-day gap between the ascension of our Lord and Pentecost. The Lord had removed his visible presence from his disciples, and that's why we've also removed the candle from the altar that you've seen there ever since Easter Sunday. And now the disciples are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they are, in name, these men. There was Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. But wait a minute. That is 11 disciples. Not 12. That's 11. And that's not right. And the 11 knew that it wasn't right. Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and killed himself, needed to be replaced to bring their number back up to 12. But why? What's so magical about the number 12? Well, there is something very special, not magical, but very special about the number 12 in the Bible, and even necessary for God's plan to redeem this world. You see, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul tells the congregation that everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way because God himself is a God of order. And order means that you do things in the right way and you do things with the right numbers. I mean, you wouldn't buy a box of eggs that had only 11 eggs in it, would you? 12 is the right number for eggs. And what would your lady think if you gave her 11 roses? Ryan, what would Renee say to you? Cheapskate. Although, didn't Hank Williams sing a song about 11 roses and said that his sweetie was the 12th rose, you know, so okay. Anyway, so this little company of the Lord's disciples was more than just a chance grouping of a dozen people that could just as well have been 11 or 13. In God's plan, 12 is the right number. 12 is the fitting number given what he wants to do through these disciples. Now 12 isn't, symbolically, 12 is not a perfect number like the number 10. I mean, we don't have 12 commandments. We don't have 12 fingers or toes. But mathematically, one of the ways you can get to 12 is to multiply 3 times 4. And that is where the significance of this number 12 comes in. Because each of the factors, 3 and 4, are filled with meaning in the Scriptures. And you would probably guess that 3 is the number of the Holy Trinity. 3 is the number for God. 4, on the other hand, refers to the 4 cardinal directions of the compass, north, east, south, and west. And as such, 4 signifies things having to do with the earth. So the number 12 comes into play when God, 3, is at work in his world, 4. 3 times 4 is 12. It's no coincidence that Israel was comprised of 12 tribes, that there are 12 minor prophets, that Chronicles 12 tells us of the 12 great priests of Israel. Through these 12 tribes, the 12 prophets, the 12 priests, not 11, not 13, but 12, God is working in his world for the salvation of his people. And of course, in the New Testament, people are no longer identified by bloodlines that trace back to Jacob's 12 sons or to the priests or the prophets of the Old Testament. But in these latter days, God has set his people apart by their baptism. And that was the day when God went to work in this world to recreate us by the Spirit and by the gospel, as his adopted sons and daughters and his disciples. And how does the Spirit come? And how does this gospel, how is it proclaimed in such a way that it recreates people? Well, that happens through the witnesses. In this case, the 12 disciples, not 11, not 13, 12 disciples who had been with Jesus from the time of his baptism all the way to his death and resurrection. Peter even quotes the Psalms, which predicted God's desire for this 12th appointment to happen. Let another take his office, the psalmist said. And so two candidates are put forward who meet the criteria. Prayer is offered. A lot is cast. And so that the ascended Lord can himself choose between Justus and Matthias, just as he had chosen the other 11. And the lot fell to Matthias, and the number of Jesus' witnesses was back to 12, the way it should be. God was going to work in this world in a fitting way to spread his gospel for the salvation of all who would believe their witness. So what does that have to do with us? Well, you see, just like us, there is nothing inherent in these 12 men that made them special in any way. There were no scholars among them, no geniuses, no one of noble birth. There were no rabbis among them, no meritorious distinction that would set them apart. What made them special and what made Matthias special is that God simply chose them from the rest of humanity. It is our Lord's choosing that sets people apart. And we are no different. We who have received the call to faith in Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it is not because there was anything inherent in us that made us special or that distinguished us or that caught God's attention and prompted him to pick us as a better choice than that guy over there. No, it was simply God's gracious will and choosing that faith has come to our lives. So in this respect, we are like Matthias, chosen in a way perhaps that seems random to us, almost as if by lot. And yet we have the assurance that it was not random at all. Because Paul says to the Ephesians, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. And you put it that way, and you know, God's choosing of us, I think, is even more marvelous and more wonderful than his choice of Matthias. You know, Matthias was chosen from just one of two candidates. Even if his choice was completely a matter of chance, he still had even odds. But you and I, we were chosen by God. Well, let's see what Deuteronomy says. God says this to his people in Deuteronomy. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples of the who are on the face of the earth. That's the wonder of it. We were chosen not from one of two, but from among all the peoples on the face of this earth. Many are called, Jesus says, but few are chosen. And here you are. And he chose us to be holy and blameless before him by the sacrifice of his son, by faith in him. You know, no wonder someone once said that the story of how you were called to faith in Christ is the second greatest story that has ever been told. Of course, the greatest story that has ever been told is the story of Christ himself. But that he chose me, that he chose you from among all the peoples of this earth, that's the second greatest story ever told. And you're part of that story. Now we belong to God. We belong to the people of God who are signified by these 12 disciples. And as such, we have a role to play that is similar to that of the 12 disciples. Because you see, God, three, still wants to do his work in this world, four, through us. And the reality for the disciples, just as it is for us, the reality is Jesus. Always Jesus. And we can witness and point others to the writings of these disciples, which contain their witness to the gospel, the greatest story ever told, and also tell others the second greatest story that was ever told. How God called me, how he called you from among all the peoples on the face of this earth to be holy in Christ by the forgiveness of your sins. Of course, for the 12, it wasn't always easy or even safe being witnesses for Christ, and it isn't easy for us either. And sometimes it's not safe in a world that more and more hates our Jesus. We think of those Christians in Egypt who were slaughtered for their faith. But you know, that's why God has given us each other. We read in verse 14, all of these, the disciples, were of one accord, devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Together. God gives us each other to take this heavenward journey together, to support each other, to encourage each other, to devote ourselves to prayer for each other, and to devote ourselves to the Word of God and the breaking of the bread. We belong to the 12, having been chosen by the grace of God. But we also remember that the number 12 reminds us that God is wanting to do something in this world through us to reach others, so that others like Matthias may also become part of that vast number of the redeemed who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and who will enter His kingdom of glory when the saints go marching in. The disciples rejoiced to do this task. And from there, from Jerusalem, they fanned out into the world to spread the news. Let's do nothing less this week and for the rest of our lives. Graduates, when you're in high school, do nothing less. As you go out from here to your families, to your schools, to your neighborhoods, to your workplaces, where God has called us to be His disciples, to be His witnesses. His peace be with you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.